but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Covers college football, college sports. He's also the co-host of Canzano and Wilner, as it so happens, the podcast. John Wilner joining us live via satellite. Where'd you spend your day today?
I spent my day in Frisco, Texas, at the Cowboys headquarters, which is the site of the Big 12 football media days. Today was the first day. They're also going tomorrow.
Give us an idea of what the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys in Frisco, Texas looks like, feels like, sounds like, smells like. What's the scene?
It's called, the complex is called the Star. And it's, you know, it's Jerry Jones developed this huge area of land. You know, there's hotels, restaurants, all that. And then the Cowboys headquarters, the event itself was held on the field. It's an indoor facility, indoor, you know, practice field. And we were on the field for the event. Everything's very nice. It's about 30 minutes north of Dallas. And, you can imagine Jerry Jones is very good at real estate developing and not so good at talent developing. But yeah, it's really good.
Arizona State was sort of a surprise last year, getting to the playoff, Kenny Dillingham being there. How much of media day today was Arizona State themed in your eyes?
Quite a bit. They were one of the eight teams that were on the stage today. And yeah, they were the talk of the, I don't know if they were the number one talk of the event, but certainly a ton of chatter about them. Dillingham, you know, Sam Levitt was here, their quarterback, who's potential All-American. Potential All-American receiver Jordan Tyson was here. It's a completely different situation from last year at this time when they were picked 16th, dead last in the Big 12 poll. The Big 12 did not do a preseason media poll this summer precisely because of ASU last year. You know, ASU was always referred to last season as, you know, picked last in the Big 10 preseason, Big 12 preseason media poll. And the conference felt like that hurt them in the seeding with the playoff and with the rankings. And so they decided to do away with the poll to kind of avoid giving critics any fodder.
The idea of that, where do you stand on that? Because I'm like, why are they going to now ask ESPN not to do a top 25 preseason poll and Wilner and Canzano not to talk about these teams and create expectations? Where do you stand on the idea that these polls should go away?
I thought that it was smart for the Big 12 to do it. You know, the AP is going to have their preseason poll as usual, right? Everybody's going to do it. But at least the Big 12 teams won't be bound by the Big 12's own poll or shackled by the Big 12's own poll. You know, that conference is different, right? There's no dominant program or combination of programs. It's a free-for-all every year, and they are, I think it's a slippery slope for them to set preseason expectations because of the likelihood that a team that's picked 16th or 12th or 14th could end up winning the thing, and then that gets held against the conference. How good it was the Big 12 last year, if the team picked last, could win the championship, right? That's the narrative I think they want to avoid. And the Big 10, SEC, and ACC are different because they've got big brands at the top that are going to contend every year. The Big 12 is a complete mess every year.
John Wilner with us from Texas, site of the Big 12 Conference Media Day. Sam Levitt, quarterback, Arizona State. West Lynn High School graduate. A lot of people in the state of Oregon know him and pull for him. He is one of the emerging stars in college football and looks like he's set up nicely. He was on the podium today. How did he present?
Very well. He looks good, talks well, looks good in his nice suit. He's got a nice NIL deal. He's going to get a chunk of ASU's revenue share. He's represented by CAA, I believe, which is a big-time agency. So, you know, he is, for all intents and purposes, he is a professional, right, playing college football. And that is the new system. And the kids that are at the top of the food chain are going to have big-time reps, just like the NFL players would. And Leavitt has gotten to that point. Now, it has created huge expectations for him this season that he's going to have to deal with and ASU is going to have to deal with as the season progresses. But financially, I mean, it's hard to tell the difference between Sam Leavitt and NFL quarterback who's maybe on a rookie contract or something like that.
Wilner, the BYU question in the Big 12 is a big one. They've got some money. How fast and how soon can BYU go from what, you know, preseason last year, a lot of people were picking them last. They didn't finish last. They had a great season. But how impactful can BYU be in football and maybe beyond that in basketball for the Big 12?
Well, this season I think is going to be tough because they just, they're going to lose their quarterback. Jake Retzlaff had that off-the-field issue. And although charges were dropped, it's an iron honor code violation at BYU, and it reportedly he's going to be suspended for 7 games, so everybody thinks he's going to enter the transfer portal. They have to start over at quarterback. So instead of being probably a popular pick for the top two or three, I think BYU is going to end up getting picked in the middle of the pack. Basketball, they should be very good. And generally speaking, over the course of time, yeah, they should be good. They got a lot of money. And the NIL era is going to be good for them, even though in theory NIL is going to have to be validated by the College Sports Commission so that the deals are legitimate. BYU is still going to have a lot of opportunities, like Texas Tech, to put together a pretty valuable roster compared to some of the other schools in the Big 12. They could be a real factor in both sports for many years.
John Wilner with us from Frisco, Texas. Brett Yormark, Big 12 commissioner, spoke and said he loves the 5 plus 11 model for the CFP. Here's Yormark. I want you to maybe summarize a little of this.
We continue to believe the 5-11 model proposed by the Big 12 and the ACC is the right playoff format for college football. We want to earn it on the field. We do not need a professional model because we are not the NFL. We are college football and we must act like it. There is nothing in sports like college football and we must protect what makes it special and do what's right for the fans and the game.
It's not lost. He's standing in a NFL facility saying we're college football, but Wilner, what is your mark? What is the ACC and the Big 12? What are they after here?
Well, I mean, it was very telling. He didn't say the name Tony Petitti, but he was talking to Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, who proposed the playoff model in which 13 of the 16 spots would be automatic qualifiers. So basically determined before the season begins. And a lot of people don't like that. The Big 12 and the ACC especially don't like it. And Yormark has been on record previously saying it, but really was very forceful today about it. And in fact, because the Big 12 is the first of the major conferences to have their media days, he got out there and had a chance to set the narrative. And he chose to basically draw a line in the sand with the Big 10 on the other side of it. So that's where I don't know how it's going to get resolved, but the Big 10 and the SEC are on opposite sides, and one of them wants a model that is based on automatic qualifiers, and one of them wants a model that's based on at-large berths, and we'll have to see, you know, which one wins out. But Yormark is definitely playing the political game there with his comments, and I thought it was very smart of them because the Big 12 prefers the at-large-based format for sure. They can't. The Big 12 and the ACC, the problem with the deal where there's four automatic qualifiers for the SEC and Big 10 and only two for the ACC and Big 12, that would be codifying your inferiority if you're the Big 12. And they can't do that. They're better off playing the game with at-large bids and only getting one of them than codifying their inferiority and getting two bids.
I am left thinking about leverage. You and I know that the Big Ten and the SEC, they ultimately can change the format of this thing if they want to. So what stops them? Is there any kind of leverage that Brett Yormark and the Big 12 have? And what did he say on that front today?
Well, there is some debate on exactly how much authority the SEC and Big Ten have unilaterally to change the format to whatever they want. They are required to consult with the ACC and Big 12 and the other conferences. Nobody knows exactly what that means, but, you know, they don't want to do something that everyone else is against. I mean, I think for political reasons, for optic reasons, and also potentially for legal reasons. They don't want to be seen, I think, as the bullies on the block. They want to bring the other conferences along with them. And at this point, the five automatic bids and 11 at-large bids is the model that has the most support. The Big Ten is the only conference that wants the automatic qualifier model. So that's kind of where things stand. I do think that the Big Ten, Big 12 and ACC have some leverage, but not as much as they would like. So that's why it's going to be so interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out.
John Wilner with us from Frisco. Okay, so you're going to go, basically from Big 12 to, in a couple of weeks here, the Big Ten, and then maybe next week, the Mountain West in Vegas. I will be at Big Ten Conference Media Day. Wilner, different questions at the Big Ten Media Day, or will some of the same stuff be, will Tony Petitti be on the hot seat having to talk about the playoff?
Oh, the playoff is probably number one, I would think. And Petitti, the interesting thing is Petitti takes a very different view of public messaging. He prefers to be behind the scenes. Yormark and Greg Sankey of the SEC are both very transparent, very proactive. Petitti proposed this radical model that's based on automatic qualifiers. So the Big Ten, under Petitti's model, the Big Ten could stink. The Big Ten could lose like four games to the MAC and still get four automatic bids. But he has only on one occasion since he proposed it publicly explained himself. He went on Joel Klatt's podcast last week, and Joel Klatt works for Fox. Fox owns the Big Ten, so it was kind of a friendly audience, and he went on there and talked about it. But otherwise, he hasn't really met with the media and gone in the back-and-forth banter to explain himself. So that, I think, is going to be the number one issue in Las Vegas, unless something comes up in the next 2 weeks. Petitti's view, why should there be automatic bids in his model? That is going to be the number one issue in Las Vegas, I think.
Why do you think Petitti hasn't gone public and had the back and forth to this point?
Because that's just not his way. Like, he's not from college sports. He doesn't understand that you need to bring the public along. He's like he's a former TV network guy who works behind the scenes and doesn't have the natural urgency and instinct for taking your case to the public. Brett Yormark is not, lifelong college sports guy, but he's a salesman, and he knows to sell, you got to be public, and you got to communicate. And Petitti missed a big opportunity, because while he was being quiet, the SEC grabbed the narrative and was able to kind of move the needle from pointing towards the Big Ten's model to pointing towards the model proposed by the Big 12. And I don't know that the Big Ten is going to kind of get that momentum back. I think Petitti misplayed his hand by being radio silent for all those months.
All right, you leave Big 12 Media Day. Who do you feel good about as a team? And I know everybody's hyping their team, but do you leave there thinking Arizona State could repeat? Do you leave there thinking, look out for Utah? As you are headed to the airport, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that it's the Big 12, so anything could happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think, as I see it, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Arizona State, Utah, all Iowa State, they, if any of those five won it, I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised. Then there's the next group. You know, you got maybe Kansas and Baylor, West Virginia. You know, I'm probably missing somebody. But that's BYU, I guess. But there's really five teams that look like they are the front runners. And of those five right now, I would pick Texas Tech. But if you ask me tomorrow, I might pick Utah. And if you ask me the day after that, I might pick Iowa State, because it's all on the margins in the Big 12. The personnel is close enough that it's like, you know, a handful of plays over the course of the season is going to decide it.
John Wilner from Frisco, Texas. Thank you for joining us, my friend. I will see you on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast, very soon.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you.
All right, there he goes. Good stuff from Big 12 Conference Media Day. I will be on the scene here in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas for Big 10 Conference Media Day. But the Big 12 doing this in Frisco, Texas on a Tuesday, Wednesday, two-day event. John Wilner on the scene there. Our Big Splash is coming up. Leave it here.